I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith and Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many other things.
Hello, Richard here. Now, as you might know, last week, Johnny and I met up at Baldock Services to record episode 100 of the Smith and Sniff podcast. But after we'd done that, we decided to stick around and have some lunch, as we always used to when we were at that service area. And we recorded that as well. If you're one of our patrons, you can watch the video of us having lunch in a car exclusively through our Patreon page. If you're not a patron, I'm afraid you're stuck with this audio-only podcast version. Now, there is a little bit of rustling of packets and chewing, but hopefully it doesn't make it sound too revolting as we start episode 101, Lunch at Baldock.
I've become a put-some-on everyday kind of guy.
Have you? Mm. What, the brute?
Actually, yes to the brute, lady. Yes to the brute. But actually also...
Oh, my God. Mm. That's coming in strong now.
But isn't it fresh and exciting?
Mm.
Mm, I thought so.
Mm. How's that?
It's... Tart is the wrong word, but it's... It's making one eyelid flicker a little bit. Never tried it before.
Kefir.
Do you remember when we drove that time ages ago now through Wendon Zambo?
Yes.
The place near Bishop Stortford.
Yeah.
Well, I went through a place in Leicestershire the other day.
Mm.
There's actually a beautiful back road not far from my house called Newton Harcourt. And I thought...
The lead singer of A-ha?
He's either the lead singer of a knock-off A-ha.
Oh, yes. A-ha.
But yeah, not really nice place. Very couple of trick 1960s houses.
Oh.
You know, my favourite. Mm. My favourite kind of house. Very flat and wide. Big windows, tapered chimney.
I saw one for sale the other day. In Somerset.
In Somerset, shit off.
Mm, it was very expensive. Really expensive for what it was. Mm. But it had that external stone chimney.
Stone-clad tapering chimney. Oh, my God.
And I just thought, that's got Johnny Smith written all over it.
Well, I don't want to talk about houses because it's just pissing me off at the moment, but, you know.
Mm. Well, it's pissing me off at the moment as well. Not your house. Worries,
well, your house can piss me off. Can piss you off.
Personal house, but also trying to let people look round our house.
Yeah.
I was sort of saying that it's that there's something creepy about it. I think because
there is. It's letting people into the lion's den, as it were.
But it's also the fact that you have to make yourself scarce. So
yeah, you've got to do the running away thing.
The dog and me, we bugger off when we know there's someone coming to view the house.
Yeah.
But I think it's weird for them because they must know.
Walk away lock unavailable. Phone key disconnected. Lock manually. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, they must know. It's like it's almost like, you know, if they just sort of they just checked the coffee mug in the dishwasher, they'd find it still warm. It's like it's you know that I've just been here, but I'm trying to present like this house is completely empty and
sanitized.
And then the other day, when I was just about to go out with the dog, we had 10 minutes before someone came around to view the house.
Yeah.
And then I realised the dog had done a big turd on the lawn, so I ran out there, didn't notice she'd done a two-parter and trod in part one while trying to clear up part two.
Oh no, and you only have minutes to spare.
Yeah, and then accidentally walked dog shit. Do you know all what? Over the step outside the back door.
I feel
mad
like
panic
when you've got to get out quickly, which we've had to lately because our house is for sale. I feel it's like the Crystal Maze, where you've got all the people shouting, "You've nearly done it, but just quit, get out, just
plump up the cushions."
Yeah, don't finish. Just don't finish it. You can't finish it in the time you've got. Just get out.
And quit. Put some stuff down the loo. Put some stuff down the loo.
You got Richard O'Brien there dancing by the window, going, "Just get out. You failed. Get out."
Well, I've also
O'Brien O'Richard. Brian, if you wanted to call him that,
he's a knockoff Richard O'Brien who introduces her on stage.
Mm.
Yeah, there's that feeling of trying to tidy things that won't be in the house if someone buys it, like your furniture. I was talking to our neighbour who's also selling her house, and she went, "Oh, I washed all my cushion covers." And I wanted to say to her, "But you're taking them with you." But it is about creating that atmos, isn't it?
People are thick.
Mm.
unfortunately, people are thick and they don't have, they can't envisage the house empty or with their own personality in it.
Although that said, we looked around an empty house. Walking through an empty house.
Is it weird?
Tears in my eyes.
Would it be tears in my
tears
eyes?
In my eyes. Talking of Atmos, there's a not nice Atmos to an empty house with no furniture in it. Even though you can kind of be going, it's blank canvas. Our sofa could go there and our shelves could go there. It's just not like that. You kind of go, brr, did someone die in here? Mm. It's just... Mm. So...
That's different.
Yeah, I can see why. Some friends of ours moved out of their house while they were still trying to sell it. And they ended up renting some furniture to fill up their other house. It's bizarre. So how much does this cost? But they said we've been advised it's a really good idea.
We could have just gone on Gumtree.
Yeah, but I think they wanted nice furniture, not like.
There's always a sofa outside someone's house.
I was going to say, that is true.
Just go and get it.
There's always a sofa. This house is nice, but it smells very damp and of dog piss. No, no, I think you're mistaken. Don't sit there, by the way.
When we were doing the preparation for the photos, I just can't remember if I've always said this. I wanted to leave a car on the drive for reference.
You told me this, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But they wouldn't have it.
No.
Hmm.
No. Which is a shame.
Which car?
The Jimny.
Okay. Yeah, the Charger could go either way, couldn't it? Like, either people go, wow, cool car, these must be cool people, this is a cool house, or they just go, what the fuck,
these people are so out of touch, what are they thinking driving a car like that? Yeah, well, it tells a lot, doesn't it? I was looking at houses and in some of the pictures you could see the car was tucked around the corner almost. Yep. they thought was out of shot.
Oh, no,
it wasn't
that there. It's like I was looking at some pictures. There's this bizarre place near us. It's like a sort of 60s house and then another building behind quite high security fencing. And I've always wondered what it is. It turns out it was a mortuary. And they stopped using it a few years ago. And it's now been sort of boarded up and they're trying to sell it for development. But in the meantime, you can rent it as a filming location. I discovered this by searching online. And the pictures that show you what it's like, if you want to rent it as a filming location, there's an Audi TT convertible in them. And I was really distracted. I was like, is that the guy who took the pictures?
In a mortuary?
Well, just parked outside, yeah. But why is it there? If you were the one taking the pictures, you'd move your car out of the way, wouldn't you? So who else was there, and why did they have a TT convertible?
There's a lot of questions.
Yeah.
There's a lot of questions there. But mind you, it's a bit like when you buy a car secondhand and you find things in it. And sometimes they're okay things and sometimes they're not okay things. This is probably the... I actually did find a condom under the seat of my Beetle, my first car.
Oh. What?
Not
a used one?
Well, I don't entirely know. Unwrapped, certainly.
Unwrapped, okay. That's
unwrapped, but right. I don't know. I mean, it's not something I would talk about typically whilst having then, lunch.
Is that the kind of thing where an inventive and enterprising Beetle owner might have used it merely to waterproof something in an emergency?
Do you know what? That's a fabulous idea. There are some crucial electronics. No, electrics under the seat of a Beetle. There's no electronics at all. To the point where I took my son to school in it the other day because I was a bit sort of carless for a period. Like, most of my practical cars were broken. And I didn't have a test car in for a week. So I drove the Beetle just in time for a massive deluge of rain as well, it seems. So I actually aquaplaned a lot on the way home from work one day.
Oh.
And I took Wesson to school and he looked at the dash. And on the Beetle, it's just painted steel with a chrome strip and a blanking plate where a radio would go in the instance of mine. And he said, Daddy, like, there's nothing on here. I said, well, old cars didn't have technology, really. Like, what? It was just a fuel gauge. And even then, on the base model Beetle, you didn't get a fuel gauge. You got a reserve tap. So when it started spluttering to death, you could just flick the switch and carry on.
Has yours got the screen washers powered by the spare tyre?
Mm.
I thought that was quite clever.
Genius. Sort of. I put an electric one on one out of a scrapyard.
Oh.
There's a fibre.
Am I right in thinking that it had a valve on it? So to make it work, you overinflated the spare.
Mm-hmm.
So and it would cut off and stop working once you got to the correct pressure for the tyre, so that you would never end up with a flat spare.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think it would just keep going.
Oh, really?
Mm. There's a Ford Mustang Mach-E.
Mm. I like those.
I like the back, I don't like the front. The back's great. It just needs to be put on the front of another car.
I've not drived one.
It's good.
Mm.
It's good.
Maybe you're saying it's good.
Yeah.
Covered in crumbs. It's quite nice to be back at Baldock.
No, it's not. Is it?
In a weird sort of way.
I feel like we're doing the stake out of nothing. Aren't we? We're staking out people's normal lives and we've got no motive at all. It's a motiveless stakeout. Which could be described as stalking.
Yes, I suppose that. Well, then there is a sort of motive with stalking, albeit not a good one.
Do you remember that bloke that was living in his Primera that we saw once?
Yes. It was an Almira, wasn't it?
Right, Almira.
And it was a cold day and he got the engine running and he kept just clogging the accelerator, presumably to hopefully get some more heat out of it, but
I think he just fell asleep and went into REM and his foot just slipped off the other pedal or just went onto the throttle. But you know what? With the fuel, the price that it is now, no one's sitting idling, thank goodness. Because they realise it's two quid a litre.
No, that's the thing though, but that guy, and then when we started to become a bit concerned about what the bloody hell he was up to and asked the security guard to go and check on him because it looked too nosy.
It was full of litter and lever arch folders, which I don't know what to read into that.
I mean, the whole situation reeked of messy divorce.
Yeah, it did.
But then the security lady said that the car smelt of booze, which made it even more tragic. Yeah. And but that's, you know, that's Baldock Services. All human life is here.
You never know what you're going to see, do you? You never know what's going to take place. We could be witnessing criminal activity right now. There's just people coming and going. There's a lot of generic cars, a lot of generic looking people. Maybe purposely blending in, who knows?
I saw the most incredibly, well, I'm convinced it was a drug deal. Well, albeit quite a low-key one.
Mm-hmm.
But a sort of cack-handed one, because
what, low-key night in the Marvel films?
No. As in, I don't think they were swapping, like, massive bricks of cocaine. I think it was, you know, probably someone just buying weed off their local guy.
Just small quantities.
Small quantities. But what made it, you know, I was just thinking, if you're going to do that, just keep it all quite low-key. But the guy, let's assume he was the dealer, was driving an old shaped C-Class, and he'd stopped and was blocking a junction, a side road near my house, and that's how I knew, because I came up behind this and there's like fucking C-Class just sitting across this junction. That's a bit stupid.
Mm.
And I assumed he was going to move, and then he didn't, and then the passenger door opened and a man got out and ran back into a nearby house, and then the car moved off. But the man was wearing a dressing gown. I was like, why would you come out of your house in a dressing gown, get into a C-Class that's parked across the junction, and then run off again, unless you're buying drugs?
Rule 101 of drugs transactions. You have to obey the law.
Mm. Well,
in all the other respects, you have to.
But, yeah, keep a low profile. They weren't to know that I'm not a police officer.
I've never actually bought drugs. I've had people trying to sell them to me quite a lot. I don't know what that says about me.
I used to get very... Years ago, when I first moved to London, I used to walk through Camden Town. You know, anyone who's ever walked through Camden Town knows you can get offered drugs quite a lot. There's usually just blokes on that main sort of strip.
By the end of the main strip, you could have bought yourself a potato sack's worth of self-medication.
Well, back in those days, it was these blokes who used to stand there going...
You could have said back in the day, then.
Oh, I thought I'd swerve it.
Yeah, you did. I'm pleased about that.
But they'd be there and they'd go. And they'd always do the same thing. It was Sensimilia, marijuana.
Yeah.
Sensimilia, Marijuana. But
it's a lovely girl's name.
Yeah. This is our youngest.
Would it be hyphenated Sensei Amelia? Or would it be?
Yeah, could be.
Sweet girl.
My girlfriend at the time always used to get offered drugs as we walked up that strip in Camden, and I never did, and I was always a bit indignant about it. Like, what? Do I look like a policeman? Do I look too square? And she'd be like, well, you're not buying drugs. I was like, no, but I'd like to be asked so I can say no.
Is she wearing a sandwich board which says, I buy drugs?
That was, yeah, she had an I heart drugs sweatshirt. That, it's like a mate of mine's older brother, Daniel, was out in London once, a long time ago, with a mate. And he woke up in the morning in his flat and his mate had crashed on the sofa, and he was woken by his mate tearing into his bedroom going, Daniel, we bought crack last night!
Really?
Well, so they cast their minds back. They were really drunk in, probably in Camden Town. And this bloke came up and went, and they went, what? And he went, oh, don't worry, it's not for you. And they got quite indignant and went, what's not for us? No, you wouldn't be interested. Yeah, we would. We would be interested. What have you got? And he went, it's crack. And they went, right, we'll have it then. And they bought this little vial of crack.
Just for basically a dare?
Yeah, basically to sort of go, yeah, we're cool. What are you saying? We wouldn't buy crack. We would buy crack. We're buying crack. Here's some. And they bought some crack. And then they didn't obviously do anything with it. The next morning woke up and then they panicked and flushed it down the loo.
poor sewage system. Gets the brunt of all these bad decisions.
Mm.
You know what I mean? That's, well, sewage works gets an absolute pounding.
Mm. Well,
poor thing. A bit like hire car interiors. I always feel sorry for hire car interiors.
Yeah.
Because you just go, bloody hell.
Hire cars generally, they're treated so badly, aren't they?
Awful.
You know, imagine the clutch on a hire car.
Get flailed.
I didn't tell you. About Jim. You know Jim.
I know Jim.
Jim's into his cars. Lives next door to a guy who's got a Mini Cooper Works.
Yeah.
Works. You know, with a fruity exhaust on it. The other week.
Imagine if he bought one of those and it was hideously unreliable and it actually didn't work.
Well, then at least you could go, Mini Cooper doesn't works, in an indignant way. It might take some of the sting out of it.
You'd get an angry person on a forum who's bought a duffer, being very vocal about it.
I think you'll find the name is slightly ironic, Mr. Cooper, so-called.
So Jim's neighbour.
Jim's neighbour's got a fruity-sounding Cooper S Works. And the other morning, about 6 a.m, Jim hears it start up. And then he hears it, and he hears really awful clutch technique, and he's thinking, oh, I'm surprised our so-and-so next door still struggling with a clutch on her car. I think enthusiast, he'd have got to grips with it now. And then he hears it going off the street, and he's like, honey, he probably should change up, but the oil's still cold.
Was it getting nicked?
It was getting nicked.
Was it?
Yeah. Jim had this terrible guilt where he suddenly went, oh god, I heard next door's car getting nicked. I didn't do anything because I just thought it was him being a bit of an oaf.
Did he not hear his own car getting
nicked? Apparently not, or by the time he did, it was too late.
A really vocal exhaust. Because normally they unlock it and kind of push it around the corner away, or bump start it or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's rotten. Do you know, car thieves are twats, aren't they?
Mm, yeah.
Well, there seems to be quite a lot of it. You know what? It was a shit gag that I was going to use on our 100th episode.
Yeah.
Tesla, it's not specific to the Y, it's other ones. It has the Sentry mode.
Yes.
Where using the cameras in the B pillars and this one, it basically has its own either constant dash cam or when it's parked, if there's suspicious activity, it just records for a period.
Yeah.
And then in the morning, or when you come back to the car, it'll go, just so you know.
Yeah.
You know,
FYI.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, a seagull landed on the bonnet and shat on it. Or, just so you know, like, I don't know, a really slightly gammon-looking bloke was looking for handbags in the passenger seat. Just thought he might want to know. But it triggered it this morning and said to me, yeah, 8 suspicious things happened while it was parked on your drive last night. And I looked, and every single time it was the cat walking around the car, brushing its tail against the tyres.
But it shows it's quite sensitive.
Yeah, man. But it worked. But I got, again, it's one of those features.
Did you did you say to the car, we can't go on together in suspicious minds?
I didn't actually.
Sounds
I should
like
have
it's
done.
A little too suspicious.
Yeah. Caught in a trap, caught on a loop. The dash cam works. Ah.
I was a bit worried these discount raspberries were going to be no good, but in fact they are.
Are they? That one looks particularly bulbous.
Yeah, no, they're good. They're peak, yeah. Peak raspberry.
The thing about raspberries, they've got a very short window of of. Oh gosh.
These have come from Portugal.
Look at that clattery mess.
What, that transporter?
BWT4. I'm just not interested. I'm People think because I like classic Volkswagens that I will like a T4, and I'm afraid I just don't see it as being interesting or unique at all.
Did I tell you about last summer when we were on the Mumbles down in South Wales, and we went past a campsite? You know, in those campsites, people put their tents up and they have camper vans and things, and they often put a flag up.
I was just about to say, was it a spirally flag?
There were some spirally
flags. Sort of corkscrews in the wind?
And there's, you know, someone's put up a Welsh flag and all this sort of stuff, and that's all good.
Yeah.
But someone was flying a VW flag.
Were they?
It's like, Christ, how much do you have to love your... I couldn't see because of the other things in the way. I couldn't see what it was, but I'm assuming, you know,
T. I'll be T5.
A T something. Yeah. T bag. And it was, it was obviously so beloved, although people were so into the dub scene. Do people still say dub scene?
Sort of, but not. I mean, yeah, not so much. It's a bit, in fact, just driving here to meet you at Hairless Penis Services,
yes.
I saw a lady with a knitted beanie.
Yeah.
Driving a VWT, it might have been a T4, camper conversion, and it was puffing out almost smoke rings of diesel soot. But not only that, the thing that caught my eye was in the back side window had a Volkswagen decal that it looked like it had been intentionally hand drawn, but in fluorescent green.
Okay,
it couldn't have looked more kind of like late 80s, 90s if it tried. But my problem is you put all that on a van which is just not interesting looking. Like, at least a bay window is distinctive, or a split screen. I know they're flawed, don't get me wrong.
Mm.
But there's character there. T4? Not really.
I saw you on the socials the other day putting up a picture of one of your old Type 2s.
SDM129M.
Is this the one that you just went, it was horrible to drive? And I was reading this going, I knew it.
Do you know what it is? In standard form, I'm going to say the bay window is actually pretty good. The split, in standard form, it's got reduction boxes at the back and the brakes are hideous. But a bay window, actually, you know, some of them have got discs on the front, they've got ball joint suspension, high ground clearance in standard form, so they're actually quite floaty.
Okay.
The gear linkage is a complete... dick in a chimney, unless all the linkages have been well looked after.
Evocative analogy.
I've got time for them in certain respects, but the modified split that I had, it looked amazing. It drove terribly.
That's just reminded me of the I drove. Now I forget, was this supposed to be the oldest Beetle in Britain or one of them? Which I drove, this Beetle collector down in Kent.
Really?
Yeah, years ago when we made the Cars the Star about the Beetle.
God, I forgot you worked on the Cars the Star.
Yeah. And
that's amazing.
I loved doing that. Good show.
That was a hell of a show.
Yeah. That sounds a bit boastful, doesn't it? But
that was peak Quentin.
Peak Quentin.
You must have been very young then.
I was 23, yeah.
Okay.
I've rubbed a raspberry on my face. We went down to Kent. There's this guy who's got a massive collection of Beatles in a barn. And on camera, we interviewed him, and very proudly on camera, I don't think we used it in the edit, he said, well, my wife said to me it was the Cars or her, and I chose the Cars. And he was very proud of himself for this.
Ooh.
And his wife walked out.
Did she? Mm-hmm. How many...
Not on camera, obviously she walked out a few years previously, but he kept the Cars and...
And lived alone?
And no, he'd got a girlfriend.
We
met his lady girlfriend.
His wife said, it's me or the Cars, and it was the Cars.
He chose the Cars. So he had all of these Beatles.
Yeah.
And the director, he was quite happy to. He lived in sort of rural Kent. There was a field next to his house, massive field, and it was stubble. And the director wanted to do this shot I think high shot, I can't remember how they got the camera up high, but where it was pre-drones, there's all these beetles of different ages all just driving around randomly and sort of figure of eight and stuff like that.
Whirligigging. Yeah.
And he wanted to film this, and then he was going to speed it up and use it as just, I think, a transition shot in the show, make it more visually interesting. So we all get, I can't remember, probably six beetles, maybe eight, and we're all just driving around this field. I had the oldest one there.
Bloody hell.
And the brakes were absolutely shocking.
Yeah, were they weren't cable, were they?
Maybe so.
Because very, very...
They were awful. Possibly
very early 50s base model beetle was cable operated.
Yeah.
25 horse.
Yes. Yes, it was slow, and it was incapable of stopping once it had achieved any kind of speed. So we're zooming about the field, but of course there's no choreography here. It's just a bunch of fuckwits just... driving it back, because we had to do it for sort of like 10 minutes or something to then be able to speed up to make it usable. And
but you're driving this guy's pride and joy.
Yes, his rarest and most valuable car, and for some reason he let me drive it rather than he was driving something else. But at one point I was just sort of doing a thing, and I could just turn like that, and I saw the director coming towards me in a Super Beetle.
Yes.
And I was like, we're going to crash. Like, there's nothing I can do, and it's like, there's no point in me braking. I sort of turned away, and thankfully he turned the other way, and it was fucking close, but I was just like, the brakes are not an option in this situation.
No. Engine
they
braking.
They may as well not exist.
Yeah,
engine braking perhaps, because I think I was probably still in first and maybe second. But
I remember going out with a guy who I was filming the guy's car, and we went out to film his... It was a very early split rear window, base standard model, as they called it, so it was cable.
Mm.
And he said, I've got it adjusted as best I can, but I still tweak it on the handbrake instead of using, or as well as the pedal. So he would almost, as he was coming out to a junction or whatever, he'd be doing this, sort of like, lever it. I mean, I've never driven a cable brake beetle. I've never driven one that early, but you need to drive my Beetle at some point.
I will.
I worry that you'll think it's toss.
And I probably will, but I can say that to you, because I know it's your beloved pride and joy.
It depends what you compare it to. It's not a slow...
Being flayed with rope.
It's not a slow... Yeah, exactly. What, that chair scene? Is that chair scene in James Bond where the bottom of the chair is cut out?
His clackers whacked with a rope. Do you want to do that again, James Bond, or just go and drive an early Beetle? Just get the rope nice and wet with you. Because that's the other thing. What I had to do, another thing we had to do in the making of that Cars the Star was, for some reason, we needed a Super Beetle, and I went and picked it up from a lovely couple in West London who were lending it to us.
That's very trusting.
And the director drove me over to their house, and they were lovely, lovely people. Lovely people in Chiswick.
Sweet people.
Yes. Yeah, they love this kind of thing. Get rid of it. It's so lovely. And we're standing in their delightful house.
Delightful.
Having a little chat in the hall.
Lovely.
And then the director went, and we were then going to drive to a big... We're driving up to... Christ knows, I can't remember where, the Midlands or the North somewhere. The director went, before we hit the road, do you mind if I just use your loop? Yes, of course, no problem at all. Just at the top of the stairs, just go, there's one up there. So then I stand making small talk in the hall with them. And then he comes down the stairs, and I went, actually, sorry, before we go up, can I just... Yes, at the top of the stairs. Went up there, had a waz, but then the cistern's still refilling.
Hmm.
I went to flush it, nothing. You get that, just like trying to start a dead car.
Yeah.
And then I was caught in this thing. I was like, either I have to leave it, but there's obviously piss in there and that looks rude. Or I have to wait till the cistern's refilled. That's going to take, another 2 or 3 minutes? They'll think I've had a poo in their house.
It's the guest poo shocker.
It's an awful quandary to be in. I think in the end I left it because I thought that was...
The right thing to do.
I mean, either that or you just have to confront it head on and go, sorry, that took a while. I had to wait for the cistern to refill. I certainly wasn't having a shit in your lovely bathroom.
I think it depends on the level of hydration as well.
Yes.
Because you might get away with it a bit if you've well hydrated.
Well, now, this was the late 90s and I think we'd been on a shoot all day. This was the evening, so the chances are I hadn't hydrated well during the day.
Okay.
But anyway, this then leads me to one of the reasons why I'm not a fan of Beetles. I mean, I wasn't before that, but then I had to drive this Super Beetle for quite a long time that night. And I was tired, and it's just that ring-a-dinger thing.
Yeah.
And there was no radio. Or no, you couldn't hear the radio. I can't remember. Probably couldn't hear it. And I was just there, and it was just like just, and then we finally got to the hotel we were staying in, and I just went to bed, and all I could hear in my head was dinga 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 dinga.
Really?
Fucking Beatle engine, yeah.
Oh, they just buzz along.
It just wasn't.
Hey, I know what I was going to say to you. it's mildly linked to Beatles. When I was driving to work day before, it was yesterday morning.
Mm.
Yesterday morning, driving to work. But in the morning, when I was getting Weston ready for school, right? Went out of the back door into the conservatory, and I saw a very large bumblebee on its back.
Oh.
And it wasn't moving. So I thought, oh, it's died. They get trapped in the conservatory, and it was very cold that night. Yeah. And I thought, it's fallen over and died.
Yeah.
I go down to scoop it up because my son is obsessed with bumblebees, but only if they're dead, which makes him sound like he's quite macabre, but he's not. He likes stroking them. But
no, I can see that's a natural reaction, isn't it? It's like, I'd like to look at them, but only if they're not going to sting me.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're fluffy and they're lovely. Mm. So I went to pick it up, and it moved like... You won't see this on the microphone, because it's a microphone, but it moved like really slowly, like, help me.
Oh.
You know, just moved one leg like that, and it was quivering. And I thought,
where am I?
Yeah, and it's like, I've been upside down for most of the evening, and it's incredibly cold. And I was like, oh, do you know what? And I was just having my breakfast at the time, so I quickly scooped it up on a piece of paper, brought it into the kitchen, and I thought, oh, the old trick, I've seen people do it on... And I mixed up a little bit of sugar in water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just in a tiny little... I got, like, a bottle top or something, and sat it on it, or next to it, and immediately the proboscis came out. Immediately. Oh. And it was shuddering, I remember. And it just put the proboscis in, and it was just firing this proboscis in, and it was there for about 15 minutes, and it absolutely downed. It was like,
really?
It's like me. It's like I'm finding you asleep in that hedge, but in a bad way, giving you four bottles of Lucozade. Honestly. And then I realised what the time I got a bit carried away. I realised what the time was. I went, oh shit, I'm actually late to take him to school. But I was in the Beetle because I didn't have another car at the time. So I said, well, what am I going to do? He hasn't finished drinking his sort of energy drink. So I put him in a Tupperware container with a bit of kitchen roll and a drink. Put the top on it, and I thought, he's not going anywhere. He's not flying at the moment. Put him in the Beetle, got the Beetle out of the garage, took the boy to school. Then I went on to the late break show office / you know, timber hut on a farmyard. And when I got to work, I thought, I'll see if he's all right, because he was down there by the ventilation. Got him out.
By the ventilation?
Well, down by the back seats on a Beetle, you've got the main vents either side, and that's where you get most of the hot air.
But the heater, OSC, isn't it? The heater's famously cack, though, isn't it?
My Beetle's got heating, man.
Yeah, okay.
Even in its sort of disheveled state.
Yeah.
Heating in my bug's always been good.
Interesting.
It's one of those things where people don't assemble them right.
So
I got the bee out, and it was a little bit more active. I was thinking, this is great. But then I mixed up another bit of sugary water. I'll give it another pep up, just in case. And its proboscis came out again. Had another quick go. And then I was just sat there on the desk, and then it sort of shook itself and went, come on then, let's have a go on this. And it went, just like a drone. You know, where they go up about 2 feet, and it just sat there, and it went, He's all right. He's revived. He's on it. And it did it. It did it, and then did like a 360. And then there's patio door, you know, like glass doors. It was like, I'm ready. And it went towards the door, and I quickly opened the door. Go on there, mate. Go for it. And it just went out, tipped down like a helicopter. Oh, right. Head down.
It went full.
And he got an airwolf spec. And it went out into the yard. And I thought, I've saved it. I've had a really tiny little win that day. I've saved a bee.
I thought you were going to say that it stung you in the face.
Oh, it did, didn't it? Just, no, like, this is a happy
it repaid
story.
Your kindness. Like when I once rescued a mouse from that was being mauled by our family cat. And the mouse repaid me by biting my finger.
I got bit by a weasel.
A weasel?
Yeah, our cat caught a weasel and I tried to save it.
Oh,
unfortunately,
yeah.
It had been bitten on quite badly on the neck. That is the downside of cat ownership. They, you know, they instinctively like to, to do bad things.
Bee in a box is quite a good idea for a cartoon series. It's an animated version of you, and you go around in your Beetle.
In my Beetle,
good cartoon car.
Yes, good cartoon.
Solving problems with a bee in a box. Your partner in. Solving
so hang
problems.
On, is that my special power? That once the bee's out of the box, it does really exceptionally helpful things.
Yeah.
Could it be my eyes in the sky?
Well, that's the thing. There's situations that. You know, a bee is better positioned to help out than a human. So.
If you were staking out, like, let's say, a drug cartel,
you're
a bumblebee, you're just flying through an open window.
Oh, yeah, no one's going to look twice at a bee, and then the bee would come back and go...
You go, they were not packing coffee in there.
How's the cartoon, so the bee can talk. It's okay.
Otherwise,
we've hit a conceptual stumbling block. If we're going to be totally realistic, it's a completely realistic show, and you just have a bee that doesn't do anything.
Or is it a robotic, but with some AI, and it sort of is okay. intelligent to a point? So, does it have sentry mode like the Tesla, which only records interesting/dodgy goings on?
Hear me out. It's a real bee that was injured in an accident and has been made semi-bionic, like RoboCop. The $64 million man, or RoboCop.
This is RoboCop.
Or, well, take your pick, really. RoboBee, it has a soul, and it is organic in a way, but then it has sort of robotic capabilities as well.
So it's sort of like a drone with a real brain.
Super bee.
It's a super bee.
Ultra bee.
Oh, hang on. If it's super bee, I wouldn't be driving around in a Beetle. I'd be driving around in a Dodge super bee. Or Plymouth super bee. Dodge.
I don't know. I might. Is that too on the nose?
Americans would love that.
That's true, actually.
Because, you know, there'd be grandpas and be like, oh, he drives a super bee. He's got a super bee.
This guy's all right, yeah.
And the kids, it'll appeal to kids because kids love drones.
Yes,
it's got drones and muscle cars in it.
Well, what if your super bee is it too sacrilegious? Oh, it's only a cartoon though. If your super bee is actually electric, because like the bee, it's been reconstructed with modern technology,
and its response—it feels responsible for the earth around it.
Yes,
so it's being a little bit, yeah, that's a great idea.
Okay,
it runs on renewables. Does it run on honey?
I'm not clear on the physics of that. But
oh, hang on a minute.
Let's say,
hang on a minute.
Because the bee's got some, it knows, it's got good contact in the honey.
It's a BV. It's a super BV. Are we just throwing a load of just absolute toss out there?
I don't know. I think this has got legs. I mean,
super BV.
You've seen some of the kids' cartoons out there. There's a variable standard.
Can I
quality.
Choose the? I'd have a 1970, which has the binocular eyes from memory, the binocular eye front end, which is a really distinctive. It wasn't as popular as the other earlier super bees, but I'm starting to like it more as time's gone on.
Okay.
Just thought I'd throw that out there to anyone who is interested in American muscle.
American muscle card.
Do you know what? If I was on The Apprentice.
Yes. out of the television.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Richard, I'll set you a task to dismantle a bee but keep it alive and then put drone components in it and market it for the masses, including friendly for kids and all that. What you have come back with is positively ingenious.
It's brilliant. Did you think I would be impressed by that? You was right.
Yeah, stop bumbling around and let's sell this product.
The rest of you, buzz off.
Yes. Super B.
B.
I love this.
Two of my favourite animals. A, tigers. B, bees.
Honey to the bee, that is you for me.
Also one of my favourite albums.
Now let's go and make some money, you cluster of fucks.
Billy Piper, she's an underrated pop musician.
Mm. But once she was a little bit smutty with Chris Evans, and on that basis, I might leave her a little bit alone. Anyway,
Judith,
get Billy Piper on off of the phone, please.
Billy Piper off Doctor Who and that prostitute programme and other things. She's had a long career, I won't list it all. Get her on off of the phone, off on.
I wish the TV series The Bill was still on, because Alan would be a really good sergeant, I think. He's got a fairly clueless bumbling.
He does talk a bit like a copper sometimes, doesn't he?
Like a policeman that hasn't fully understood the terminology and the reasons why they say what they say. Just sort of just throws it, gets it all mixed up.
It's not good with the lingo.
It's a mismatch of the reality and the just made up.
Is that... Talking of...
Off of
the police / the filth / the busy / the rosters.
Yeah, narcs and all that.
There's a lot of them. They stop here at these services a lot, don't they?
They do.
And I'm just looking. There's a Skoda Superb Estate over there, and I'm thinking, is that an unmarked car?
Could be, couldn't it?
It's got. I mean, it's got the hallmarks. And actually, there's a Superb Saloon.
Yeah,
over there
I bet
well.
They're working together. Both 68 plates.
Yeah, but they're.
And you can hide all the LED response lights now so well.
You can, can't you?
Yeah. Whereas it's in the old days, they'd have to jigsaw cut the grill out at the front.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'd see it.
Yeah.
You'd always see a cutout on a grill and go, oh, yeah, that's a... undercover.
Well, they started putting blue lights in the sort of corners of the bumpers, didn't they? But it's like...
Oh, yeah.
But they were so obvious.
And now it's all hidden within the cluster, or
yeah,
they've repurposed other lights, so, like, they probably don't need reversing lights, they probably just reverse straight into stuff. That's right, it's just a body colour bumper, it'll be £600. Who cares? Let's catch a crowd.
Oh, man, did I tell you the embarrassing thing that happened to me? When, you know, I had Richard Tipper of Perfection Valet over to clean up my Porsche, and he did an incredible job of it, such that it was already looking amazing, and then I went out, my daughter and I had to go out and run a few errands, and when we got back, it had become even more amazing. And
what do you mean?
Well, it was just like gleaming. It was just, okay, it was ridiculous. Like, the bodywork almost looked like sort of black liquid. It was so sort of clear, and it was just great. And lustrous. It was very lustrous, and I was so wowed by this that I reversed my Range Rover into a bin. Because our next door neighbour has a habit of leaving the bin out in the road to reserve their parking place. Bit naughty, but they've been doing it for years. And
was this a protest reverse? Just to go,
well, no, but that's the thing.
You can take your bin and you can move it.
Well, so I was sort of saying to my daughter in the back, I was going, look at the car, and she's like, it's so clean. And I was like, it's amazing, isn't it? I'm trying to reverse park into the spot. I was too busy looking at the Porsche that I wasn't looking at the,
you know,
camera.
Your own car and reversing your other car.
I reversed my other car into someone's bin, which it didn't just fall over, it kind of went boom and tumbled away, and then Richard went and rescued it, which was just even more embarrassing. That
you've reminded me that this car, this borrowed Tesla Y, the guys that own it, are Simon. Their sentry mode picked up on their neighbour who backed at high speed into it when it was a week old. Fuck. Now, they didn't deny that they'd done it. They knew they'd done it. But I think they just got in the car and didn't check the rearview mirror and just went for a space that didn't exist.
Yeah.
And it all got caught on camera. But the great thing about that, of course, is it's an unequivocal... You can't argue it because it's pure fact.
Yeah,
it takes up... It really removes a lot of sort of hot air, court letters, boring solicitor time.
It's
clever shiz.
Yeah, it's clever shiz, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's recording now, apparently. Mm. I don't know why.
I'm slightly creeped out that there's a camera just above the rearview mirror, like a permanent built-in camera. So,
well, you can play all that weird. You can play all the weird shit, can't you, if you want to?
Yeah, but why is there a camera? That is that like a? It's like, it feels like we're in a minicab if it's got an internal camera recording what's going on.
That's a good question. I don't know.
I don't understand it. Also, something as simple as opening the glove boxes on there as well.
Yeah, it's all within the tablet.
It's always in the within the tablets, within the screen.
Something is properly DSG tromboning over there.
I can hear it coming. It's fruity.
Is it a six cylinder? If they come into the car park really hot,
they might do.
When it's blatantly a 10 mile an hour speed limit, but they're doing a cool 30.
A cool 30.
They are, aren't they? Because they've just been doing 110 on the A1.
Yeah. So to them, 30. Perspective. This feels slow, doesn't it? Yeah. It's. I mean, a cool is usually only put in front of amounts of money, isn't it?
I don't use it. I've got to be honest. I don't know why I just said it.
It's a very sort of tabloid newspapery kind of... I think it's this. There's a one series over there, look, with some kit on it. Yeah, there you go.
Now, was that a six?
135, yeah.
Yeah. That's low, too.
Do you know what? The other day, I was on a Zoom call with some people, and someone on the call used the word trove, but not referring to treasure.
Oh, hang on. What context, then?
They said, we've got a trove of information.
Brilliant.
And I went, I'd never thought you could use trove in any other
situation. No, you think that they're synonymous, aren't they?
It's just, like, yes, treasure trove, that's it. It's just, the same way that, you know, the word girth is only ever used for penises.
No, horses, I would say. Not horse penises, but actual horses. Well, girth! It's not exclusively dick measuring.
When would you use the word girth?
A horse has a girth. It's the, oh, someone who's listening will know. I used to know about horses a little bit.
But, like, you wouldn't stand in the Severn Estuary and go, God, look at the girth of the river here. It's just, it's a,
you'd
say
width.
That
doesn't sound right. Yeah, it doesn't
you'd
sound
say
right.
Width, and yeah, sort of girth. So girth is a kind of, feels like it's a very marginal word. But trove, that's like, you never say, and I was like, but you can. Everyone knew what she meant.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's
did everyone,
fantastic.
Did everyone, you stand up and applaud her in the middle of
no,
this?
No, I wanted to, but I didn't, no one else seemed to sort of even acknowledge, you know, like I was looking for someone else just to sort of, their eyes to widen with delight or for them to sort of frown with, did she just say trove?
Trove.
Yeah, I might try using it more often now. I just, yeah.
I'm loving it. Yeah. I need to weave that in, yeah, into a feature.
My wife
or something.
Gets home and goes, why is the house such a mess? Well, there are a trove of reasons for this. I just see how I can
trove.
See if I can use trove at least once a day correctly as well, not just like shouting it.
Oh no, correct trove.
Tunnel. Yeah.
Do you know what? It could be the name of a sort of a foreign market car that we don't get here.
The trove, the Nissan Trove.
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What's the name of that Nissan that we don't get? The small one. It's got a funny name. It's bigger than a Micra.
Oh, the Trove. Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah. Or Trover.
The trover.
Is a trover a word? Someone who collects, who has a trove, or is enthusiastically pursues troves.
Yeah, like, he's getting bogged down now. Troving.
Troving.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, sculling. Sculling's a term that you don't.
Well, sculling is just inexorably linked to pints of lager, really.
Well, swimming.
Swipping?
Swimming.
Oh, swimming.
Swipping? I'm not just making up words.
he's trying to catch me out. Okay, swipping.
Oh,
you,
yeah, you're not being
swipping.
You
don't say swipping. Yeah, weird. Sculling, yes. Rowing, isn't it?
Oh, you might do it in the row. It's a row. It is a sort of...
yeah, skull. A skull is a...
It's a rowing technique.
Type of row. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what the... Are the sirens connected to whatever the hell that was? That was just
that
is an awful
that's got to be a Morris Minor with blunderbuss conversion.
Yeah, maybe a Morris Minor with a very very aggressive twin carb setup on it and
very very
lumpy cams.
And when you come off the throttle, it actually cuts the ignition so that when you go back onto the throttle and it reignites, there's loads of unburnt fuel kicking about. And it just properly like. Just jettisons
it. Oh, it's just a button that just releases fuel into the exhaust system for shits and giggles.
I remember people used to do that. It was really shit and crude. Hated it.
It's, it's just quite moronic, isn't it? It's just not.
It's too moronic. I get it. If you want a fruity exhaust, I get that. You can, it can work, but no, don't start cutting the ignition or flamethrower kitting it or any of that jazz.
What is the worst cack-handed modification you ever saw in a car when you were at max power?
God, you haven't got long enough.
Didn't people just punch holes in the silencers of their exhaust to try and get a bit of extra noise out of them?
People
get a nail and bang it through.
Yeah, people used to do that. I was terrified of ill-fitting nitrous kits.
Ill-fitting?
Because...
just spraying it through the vents.
Just, yeah, because, you know, that there's various ways of doing nitrous and there are ways of doing it properly.
Mm.
But most of the time, when it was all the fashion, look, Fast and Furious was responsible for this. Everyone wanted a NOS kit.
Yeah.
The problem was, is a lot of them were just fitted, and they would introduce an enormous amount of nitrous kind of willy-nilly. You either have it full throttle or progressive, but progressive requires you to set the car up right. I mean, I drove this guy's Civic, I remember it well. He kept badgering me to drive it during the feature, and I just wasn't interested in driving it. No, I'll just do the shoot, it's fine. Anyway, he kept wanting me to drive this thing. It's got a 200 shot of nitrous. I mean, it had like the engine power again of nitrous, and it was undrivable. I'd say it was largely undrivable. And I just thought, at any moment in time, I'm going to get components of the engine just smashed their way through the bonnet and just rain down on us. Or I'm going to get a shrapnel wound. And I'm going to get a VTEC shrapnel wound.
Yeah, that's the bit, isn't it? You just go, if this goes really pear-shaped,
that's what
I'm going to get hurt.
Yeah, you know, like the hot metal is going to shower down. Or
just a cog in the eye.
Yeah, a cog or in the temple.
Hot cog
in the
eye. Yeah.
You know, a little bit of cam in the temple.
It just reminded me, talking of badgering, I just remember a story that TV's Jeremy Clarkson used to tell about, he was shooting one of his old, you know, Christmas video type things, and for some inexplicable reason, they're at an airfield, and there's this bloke who's brought down this sort of, like, modified Capri.
Of course.
And he's from, you know, sort of like Sheffield or somewhere, and he's and they've got a Ferrari there. They've got a, back then, like a 360 or something.
Yeah.
And this bloke's just like, Mike Capri, we'd have that. Jeremy's like, yeah, of course I could, mate. Yeah. No, serious. Get it up there. We'll do a drag race. Mike Capri could have that. Jeremy's like, I don't think it could, actually. And they've got like a 911 turbo there as well. Yeah. So,
I'll take that. I'll take it on.
Mike Capri could have that. Yes, the Ferrari and the Porsche, of course. Yeah. That what's that? GTR. Yeah, Mike Capri could have that as well. And they just display all day.
Everything.
Mike Capri could take that. Yeah, Mike Capri could have that. So at the end of the day, he went, all right, come on then. So Jeremy's like, finds whatever it is, the Ferrari, so he thinks it's the fastest car. Goes, come on then. All right. Let's do it. Capri just fucked off into the distance.
Destroyed everything.
Unbelievably tweaked up, but done well so that it was sort of able to perform when required.
How long ago was this?
Oh, God, like probably about 30 years ago now. So it was 25 years ago.
So I'm hoping that the driver did have quite a sort of loose-fitting leather jacket.
Oh, yeah. maybe.
Dark brown?
I don't know.
Or black? Black.
I'm seeing like a tracky top. Like a, you know, Adidas stripy tracky top.
Are
maybe.
You?
Yeah, maybe.
But with a leather jacket over the top, though. So it's that weird maybe. Combination of sports gear and kind of like undercover detective gear.
Yeah.
It's always the combination which doesn't quite work.
What was that picture you sent me the day? Who was it? it was Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton.
Collar and tie with a leather jacket.
Yeah, and a straight
an incredible
tie.
Look. Yes, a straight tie.
It was a premiere of a film that came out in about 91. I think he'd just done Batman not that long ago.
When was that? Batman was 89, wasn't it? So, but that would still be, because that was quite peak.
Keaton? Would that have been...
Peak Keaton? Well, Keaton sort of went away and then came back again, didn't he?
He did. He did do a comeback.
And then he did what? He did like... What's that probably, one? Birdman.
Yeah, he's probably better in middle age than he was then.
Yeah, he is one of those people who's kind of... improved with age.
He has.
In many ways.
And he did have that look about it. And I think I did say to him, in fact, did I not? I think I said to you in the text when I shared that picture of Keaton, saying, I'm absolutely certain that he drives, was it an Opel Manta Berlinetta?
Yeah, he's done.
And that is the identikit of a Manta Berlinetta pilot.
Yeah.
it was amazing. No offence to anyone who's got a Manta Berlinetta, well, of course.
I mean...
God, I bet Keaton's never even seen one. Or maybe he has. Maybe he did a spell of filming in Germany, or he's got some ancestry.
Well,
in Germany.
Hang on, they did that. They did that Batman film in Britain.
What, the 89 Batman?
I'm pretty
was
sure.
British?
It was Tim Burton, wasn't it? I'm sure they filmed that. Now...
In 89?
I'm almost certain. I can't remember if that's the one where they built the Gotham City set inside one of those massive hangars at Cardington. Not that far from here, actually.
Yeah, the airship. The airship sheds, yeah.
They built a whole city set inside one of those for one of the Batman films. I think it might have been that one in 89.
I did not know that.
They definitely built a big set somewhere for it.
Well, Cardington is
sure
a big shed.
Okay. But yeah, because I guess they wanted to be able to just light it, because it's always dark in Gotham City.
It is.
For some
it's
reason,
moody.
Though. You know, they did the last Batman, the one that's just come out. They did all that in Glasgow, though, and then doing Batgirl up there at the moment. And apparently, so, I haven't seen
why?
That film.
Why? Because Scottish government are giving them a backhander, or
I don't know. Well, I saw someone saying that
the gritty streets of Gotham, aka Glasgow.
Well, somebody said Gotham's never looked grittier on film, and it was like, and I saw someone on social media who's Glaswegian going, makes me very proud that finally Gotham can look as shit as it's meant to by going to Glasgow.
I've been to Glasgow. Yeah. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, Glasgow's a really nice place.
I think
Glasgow
it used to be quite grimy.
But... Yeah. No, it's, yeah, I think in places it probably still is, but it's, yeah, it's a really cool city. I had a great night in Glasgow once where we met up with this mate who owned a bar. And we went to his bar, and he went, oh, it's like a Monday night or something. I was up there with work. And this guy went, a bit quiet here, we might as well go back to mine. And he just pulled two bottles of vodka from behind the bar and went, right, let's go.
And just locked up?
Well, no, he left his staff running the place.
Oh, okay.
But it was just really quiet, and he was like, oh, there's an atmosphere here. We might as well go back to my place. We can, you know, just crank up the tune. So we went back to his, you know, it's got big apartment buildings that are old, buildings in Glasgow. We went to one of those.
I'm just thinking of two bottles of vodka.
Yeah.
Was that on a work night?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I was hanging the next day, and I had to do some work, and it was awful. But
oh, gosh.
We went to his flat, and it was a massive flat, and he had no furniture. And in the living room, there were two bean bags and a double mattress on the floor. I mean, it was a huge room, and a big telly with a, would have been PlayStation, like original PlayStation at that
PS1
point.
PS1.
Because this was
in grey.
This was 20 odd years ago. And I looked around it, but it was a beautiful place. It was just like, he just went, oh, this will be fantastic. I assumed he just moved in, so I went, oh, it's a lovely flat. Have you just moved in? He was like, been here for years. So he just lived like that.
Wow.
Like, he was quite a successful guy. He had a W124 Cabrio.
A Cabrio?
Mm. And that was, this would have been about 2000.
That would have been expensive.
So that was still, yeah, quite a valuable and nice car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, he was doing all right for himself. But yeah, he just lived in this incredible, because he was, I think he was a bachelor. He just
beanbag and a big TV.
And a PlayStation, yeah. And he just basically used to sit on the beanbag, play PlayStation until he was tired. And then he'd just go over and get...
You know, blokes are just shit creatures, aren't they?
It's bizarre, isn't it?
They really are.
Just go, but... Well, you say that, but it's like, I wouldn't have lived like that. I would have gone, wow, I've got a really nice flat here. I will do my best to make it as nice as possible. It had this sort of, the kitchen had a glass roof on it, so you had this kind of view out the back as well. It was a really spectacular place, but he had no furniture.
This is the point that I admit that sadly I couldn't be bothered to buy a bed for a year, and so I had a camping double mattress, you know, an airbed, but it developed a slow puncture. So I would frequently wake up in the morning on a hard floor.
I've had that with
completely. But instead of, yeah. I was in my early 20s and I had bigger fish to fry, it seems. So I just never repaired. I just used to pump it up and go to bed and wake up on a flat, hard floor for months.
I had the same thing. We're staying at somewhere and it's a very odd feeling, isn't it? When you're not expecting it, because you're like, I went to sleep on something soft. I've woken up on something very unyielding. What's going on?
It's like someone's
on?
Lifted you up and put you somewhere else.
Yeah, it's disorientating.
Yeah. It's like that time when we, on my first lad's holiday, when we went to Rhodes when we were 19, and one of the boys fell asleep on a camp bed, naked. The other lads got back from the club at like dawn and decided to carefully lift the camp bed up and take it out of the apartment and put it outside the door of another villa. He was asleep naked on a camp bed.
Oh my god.
And then they rang the doorbell and then they ran away, and we got told off by a pair of ladies who were very angry that we'd disrupted their morning and ruined their holiday. And meanwhile, my mate woke up so disorientated, like, I'm in a bed. I'm in the bed I went to bed in, but I'm outside. What's going on?
That's just reminding me, when my dad...
Very good fun.
When my dad was a young man, he was an engineering apprentice in Rugby, and he lived in... They used to call it digs, where basically it's like, yeah, it had a landlady, sort of redoubtable older lady.
Yeah, he had a room in a house.
Yeah, basically. Well, he had a room in a house that he shared with another guy, a mate of his.
Did it have a hand basin in one corner?
Oh, probably.
My dad's digs did.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing they would have, isn't it?
Yeah, it sort of doubles as a bidet and a wash basin, apparently.
So, one night, his roommate stole the orange glass light off the top of a Belisha beacon, which is, they're quite big and they're quite heavy.
They are, yeah.
And put it in my dad's bed. And my dad got home. He was pissed, I think, this guy. And my dad got back. Yeah, it was. It would have been the 60s. Hang on. No, wait. It would have actually probably been the 50s still. Late 50s.
Okay.
And so... My dad got home, found this thing in his bed, and I went, oh my God, if our landlady catches me with this, she's going to be, you know, she's going to give me a right bollock. She's probably throw me out or something. I can't risk that. So he hid it under the bed and gradually broke bits off of it and smuggled them out of the house.
What?
In his pockets.
What?
I know. Because he didn't risk.
How scary was the landlady?
I don't know. I guess quite scary. But yeah, he's like, I didn't risk. I guess she never went out. Or, I mean, what,
that's,
or maybe
that's something odd there, Rich.
He didn't want to risk trying to leave the house with it intact about his person and get caught, because that would be the worst thing possible. So he thought laterally, and he just broke it up.
Do you know, you've just reminded me, because I think Daytona happened, the race, not that long ago.
Yeah.
And I got a text message from Tiff, who'd gone out there to do... He does these corporate events where he chaperones people.
Oh,
And gives them a VIP tour and talks about... Anyway, he loves Daytona. And rightly so. But
is it because he gets to go to a strip bar?
He loves everything about Daytona. So I've told you that time we went out to film the 50th Daytona for Fifth Gear with him, and we were staying in a condo. I use the term condo because that's how it was referred to. We don't use the term condo over here.
Yeah, and I'm never quite clear what that is. It's like a bedsit.
I think it's an apartment.
Or studio flat. Studio flat.
Like a large studio. Anyway, so we were all living in the same condo. It had three bedrooms or four bedrooms, and Tiff was in one of them. And anyway, one night Tiff had already got a bit pissed off with me because I insisted that we played crazy golf instead of going to a strip club. I was furious. There was a late night, I've told this story, I'm sure, there was a late night crazy golf course which had like a real crashed plane in it and real crocodiles. That was its sign.
What?
It stayed up till about two in the morning. It was still open as a crazy golf course. It was floodlit. Bloody and it had a crashed aeroplane as part of the, you know, the setup, the scenery. Yeah.
What,
and
like a light aircraft or an
like a little Cessna thing. Like a 747. And it had a load of crocodiles that were alive in like a lake in the middle. Anyway,
I can't be doing
so it was
that.
Cool. I really enjoyed it. Tiff didn't enjoy it, and
because he wanted to be looking at boobs.
He wanted to go to a skin bar instead. So, but we had a few drinks, but and Tiff had got a little bit well oiled. On the way back, while he was in the bathroom brushing his teeth, we all thought it'd be fun. We sneaked into his bedroom, and his bedroom had some odd decor in it. For example, had a very large canary cage, but with no canary in it.
Okay,
so it's just sort of weirdly ornamental. So we filled his bed with all of the ornaments from the house and the bedroom. Just stuffed. He had this huge bed, you know, like. You know, a big American
bed. Yeah.
Huge. We filled it. And then we ran out. We did all this in under 5 minutes. We ran out and all went, pretended to go to bed. And then just turned the light down. So he came out of the bathroom, just sort of snuck in. And then went, lifted his thing back and went, "Fucking Smith, murder, Smith! Fucking, what the fuck are you doing?" And he was barking, he's throwing a canary cage out. He was very angry. not like nasty angry, but he was moaning at me for being such a... But yeah, that's what he did. So instead of going to a skin club, he got late night crazy golf, some drinks, and a bed full of trinkets.
Tat.
A bed full of, yeah.
Oh, dear. I once went somewhere where I stayed in the same room as a mate, but in, you know, different beds. And while he was in the bathroom, I thought it'd be hilarious to put a fire extinguisher in his bed. But unfortunately, when you put a water fire extinguisher on its side, it's prone to leaking. So he pulled back the cover. Oh, there's a fire extinguisher in my soaking wet bed!
Was it really wet?
Yeah, it was really wet. fortunately, then we found a cupboard full of bed linen, so we sort of improvised.
I wonder what you're going to say then.
And we remade his bed with lots of sheets so that it's sort of
soaked
so that he could have a night's sleep. Because I think I don't know why I didn't.
Right,
I mean, I don't know why I didn't just say he could have my bed, but
you didn't.
Or maybe he said it's a fine week. Anyway,
nevertheless.
But we had been drinking. And so our logic wasn't necessarily the most crisp. And what we did with the wet sheets is that we simply opened the window and pushed them out onto. There was like a sort of quite a wide ledge outside the window. So you
threw them out the window.
We didn't throw them because they were on the ledge outside the window. So we'll deal with this in the morning. But let's just put them out there for now. Because woke up in the morning to the sound of rain. So the once slightly damp sheets were now absolutely soaking wet. Pulled them in. And there was an armchair in the corner of the room. We just put them behind the armchair and then we left.
Behind the armchair? It's so pathetic. It's pathetic.
It's not a master criminal move, is it? But the thing is, there was no comeback from that. And yet there so easily could have been because they knew exactly who we were and, you know, had all our details. So.
It's just like delivering a hire car back, parking it in a tight corner of the car park when you've gashed one corner of the guys. Do you
They're
not think they've seen this
out.
Shit before?
Yeah.
Of course they've seen this shit before.
Yeah.
I remember that time when I was on Max Power and we were were doing a couple of shoots in Spain, and I had a hire car, Toyota Corolla, and I parked it really close to a solid marble. I remember this now. Solid marble, or it could be highly polished concrete, you know, the ornamental concrete.
Yeah.
Park bench.
Oh.
And we had it there for all afternoon. We were doing static photography of a couple of these mad modified cars. And then unfortunately the photographer was like, oh, I want to do some sunset shots, so they'll be good for the cover. We got some glorious sunset shots, and then it was sort of dusk / early night time. He was packing all his camera equipment up, and I just forgot that there's this low vandal proof bench right at the front of it was maybe a foot away from the front of the car. But I did that sort of energetic start the car, select first, and just drop the clutch and go.
Oh god,
because I could just see it completely open.
But hang on, what, but the impact speed must have been what, 3?
Oh, because it was three,
just like,
but it
that
lunged,
much ground to
it just lunged,
went, bam.
It lunged and it immediately took a big smack to it, and it took a huge, I mean, all the sort of lattice grill, the lower part of it, just got mauled. It didn't do the rad.
Oh well, that's,
but so, I decided to not be cowardly. I actually went and omitted it straight away, and so cool that the Spanish guy running it just went, it's okay. And I never got asked for any money. I mean,
that
how
happened
cool
to
that?
Me though. I went to the south of France with Evo, and I flew down there, and they'd said, when you get there, go and pick up a hire car at the airport, change of plans, so you just need to go and rent a car, an estate car that we can use for tracking photography.
Yeah.
Just, and we'll, you know, expense it back. So I did that. I went to the thing. I got, they gave me a Peugeot 307 estate.
SW.
Yeah. SW. Got there. Immediately I got to where everyone else was. You know, we've got the cars. It's car of the year, I guess. We've got all the cars to drive. I handed this car over to the photographers. You know, sometimes photographers can be a little bit, they're not
terrible
mechanically
with cars.
Sympathetic. Yeah.
No, I've seen a few get crashed at the hands of a...
So I think it was like still that first morning after the night I'd flown in, when one of the photographers came over and he went, a car you rent is broken. Like, what? How can it be broken? It was a brand new, it had a sort of like 50 kilometres on it when I picked it up. He went, yeah, it's just, it's all like, it'll go into second, but first, third, fifth, it won't, just, there's nothing when you put it there, it won't. It's weird fault. So you had to start off in second, then you had to get enough speed up to go into fourth. It wouldn't, you just pushed it across to any of the odd numbered gears.
And there's nothing there.
There's nothing there, and it would just ping back into neutral. So it's still drivable, and they used it with some monumental clutch abuse for the rest of the time we're there. So it was about 4 or 5 days.
Oh my god!
But then I had to take it back to the fucking hire place, and it's on my credit card because I haven't X'd it back.
Yeah.
And I'm saying to Harry, this is going to be all right. Oh yeah, don't worry. Okay, we'll take care of it. Don't worry. I was like, but yeah, they're going to charge me for a new gearbox at this rate
because
we frigged this car.
Yeah.
All the way driving back to Nice Airport, I'm practicing in GCSE French how I'm going to explain this.
Are you really?
Yeah. Il y a un problème avec le boîte de vitesse. Le vitesse numéro 2, 4 et 6, c'est bon. Mais 1, 3 et 5, pas mal.
Normal.
Il y a un problème. And I was just trying, how am I going to do
French, this? Richard?
Well, I had a long time to practice it.
A 3-hour drive.
I got there, I went, bonjour, and the lady went, hello. And I was like,
oh shit.
Oh, probably we were in English. She went, yes, I speak English. Yes. And I went, oh, right. Okay. So I was like, oh, I've rehearsed this now. I feel almost let down. I had no chance to unleash it. I went, right, there's a problem with the gearbox in the car. She went, okay, it's fine. I went, you know, but it's like, it won't, the gears have, there's just something very wrong with it. Half the gears aren't working. It is fine. Have a safe flight home. That was it.
And didn't give a shit.
Nothing.
Amazing. Isn't it wonderful that people like that exist?
Yeah.
Especially
yeah.
When a car, I mean, I damaged mine, it was my fault. Yours sounds like it wasn't yours or their fault.
Well, probably not. I suspect some, considering it was a new car, I suspect some kind of manufacturing defect.
Unless Tiff had borrowed it.
Yeah.
Just, he'd gone out to France.
Yeah, he only did
before.
Like 5Ks in it, but they were very intense.
Well, you know about his clutchless gear change addiction. With
yes.
Cars.
Oh my god. Yeah. He taught.
Match the revs. Match the revs.
Yeah. He tried to teach me how to do it in a Mark I Land Rover Discovery pool car from the BBC.
Oh my gosh.
There was at one point where I got it wrong, and there was a thunk back up that long earring, and it almost—I felt like it broke my arm.
No,
match it. Yeah, he used to, and then I watched him doing it, and it was quite impressive. Oh, he was very good at it. But it's just not very mechanically sympathetic, is it?
No,
it kind of hurts.
No, it does hurt. It does.
But that's racing drivers. For
love,
you.
Love hurts. but the hire car company, HERTZ. Love hurts.
Oh my God.